Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's look at some pit stop data from the 2024 season so we can make better fantasy NASCAR picks moving forward. This week is North Wilkesboro. Pit road, as always, will be a big deal. Now, let me tell you right now, I'm not just trying to sell a spreadsheet and sell new stats and inventing new data points. I am adding plenty of stats every week to the spreadsheet, which you can get at RaceForThePrize.com. All you got to do, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, just a small little mom-and-pop shop operation. No credit cards, no automatic billing, just, you know, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. It's in the description below whenever you want. And I give you access to the data and the things that I'm working on, the insights that I'm coming forward with. And I've been looking a lot more into pit road data because let's face it, as Denny Hamlin has mentioned, and your eyes have seen it, there is parity in NASCAR. Cars are pretty equal. How do we decide between the top tier drivers? How do we differentiate? How do we predict who will lead laps? You know the answer. And it's pit road. We don't often like to admit it because we like racing and we like to see passes on the track. Race cars, not pit cars. And there is race cars and there is racing. But you can't completely ignore what is happening with the pit crews, with the cars getting in and off pit road. That data is significant. It is important. It more than correlates with finish. It's an important part of the game, and we can't just ignore it. And you can't just ignore it because you don't have the stats. We got the stats. We got the numbers. So I'm going to go over two stats, look at two stats from the season perspective and recently at Darlington to help you make some better fantasy NASCAR picks, right? First of all, think about deciding between a hog or a quote-unquote dominator. Who's going to dominate this race? Who's going to lead the most laps? They're going to have to be good on pit road. And you can often predict who will get to that lead, who will be able to make moves in the top 10, because it's not easy to pass in the top 10. It's not easy to pass anywhere. Top 10 is very difficult. The top 5 is very difficult. The way to make your gains up front is on pit road. And so if you're deciding between two drivers and one has been markedly better on pit road, then that would be the guy you might want to lean to. Also, when you're looking at your top tier drivers and you're trying to decide who may not lead a bunch of laps, but who may be able to maximize finishing position, make those extra gains in the top 10, get those extra place differential points, where the driver's in the eights to low nines and they need a little bit more to hit 6X. And they get that little bit more on pit road. That's how you can make a decision between those. And then also, if you're looking at the Lemons class, the Le Mans class, the LM class, the backpack, the C class, whatever you want to refer to it as, the guys running to see who can finish the best from, you know, the 20s to 30s, you could also use pit road data to decide or be a tiebreaker in that situation. It's a useful tool, and unfortunately, or fortunately for you, if you've got the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, or you're a viewer here, like and subscribe. Unfortunately for the people that don't look at the data, they don't know these things. Fortunately for the people that do, you now have maybe a little bit more of an edge. By doing the extra homework, by putting into the grind, this is in every DFS sport. The guys that are looking at the advanced analytics in baseball, going to Baseball Savant, or the next gen stats in the NFL. Why not apply those same hard, deep researching concepts into NASCAR? Ooh, simulation, saber sim. Look, that's not calculating this data. What kind of data do you think SaberSim's really putting into their simulations? You think they're scraping everything possible and also adding context? Simulations. Come on. You can beat the computer. You can beat the algorithm. This is a sport to do it. Let's look at it. We'll start with our season-long view. Actually, first of all, I do want to just talk about the two stats that we mainly look at, that we pull. Every week we get the four tire stops. So we can look at the four tire stops because we want to compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges. We don't want to compare a four tire to a two tire. Obviously, those times are going to be different. or four tire to no tire. This is simply just looking at the crew in isolation in a vacuum. And then we take their four tire stop, and then we take a median of that because there will be some bad stops. There will be incidents. There will be cautions. You name it. It's 4 in the morning. I'm up well before my alarm today, folks. That's okay. So we take a median of that, and then we rank them. And here you can see the data from Darlington. Hey, no surprise. Brad Keselowski wins the race. He was the best on pit road. Ty Gibbs finishes second. He's second best on pit road. Reddick was having a great day. Corey LaJoie, oh, well, he didn't. Actually, he was the top, near the top of that Lemons class. Josh Berry had a pretty good day last time I checked in Darlington. Pit road data. So if we can find guys that routinely, every week, excelling in the pits, then you put a little bit of an edge on that picture. You're going to look at practice data and lap-by-lap data at the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet or raceforprize.com. You're going to look at current form. You're going to look at track history. But you got to add this to your bag of tricks. Throw this into your statistic column. Put this into a part of your process. So there's a four-tire stop. And then we have the comprehensive stop where we look at everything. We look at when they're pitting, how long to take them in, get in, to get out, ranking all of that. The comprehensive overlook. The big picture. So today, let's just look at our four tire stops in the season. And we're not really looking at the full season. We're looking at our most recent four races at the intermediate tracks, Texas, Dover, Kansas, Darlington. So we see Chase Elliott. Again, these are medians, 9.5 and 9.7. We're looking at the pit stop by the crew in isolation. And overall, the average of those medians is 9.9. He has a fast pit crew. That has no doubt helped him a lot in advancing from his poor starting positions. And it may have hidden some of the lack of speed. You could make an argument that this car is not as fast as sometimes it appears because he is gaining a lot of positions on pit road. I mean, he's ranking best. Not so much at Darlington. Finally, one of those bad days on bad pit stop starting positions finally caught up to him. Logano has been fast. Again, there's another situation where Logano hasn't been that great this year. And boy, imagine how bad a season would be recently if his pit crew were not as good as they've been. Kyle Larson, third. Makes you feel very confident and comfortable in picking Kyle Larson as a hog. Having this knowledge is an easy thing when you're trying to make tiebreakers. You're coming down to Sunday afternoon, like, God, do I stick with Larson? Who's going to lead the most laps? Although he may not lead the most laps, you feel confident that he's going to get an opportunity or have a cycle of leading that will allow him to be one of the top plays based on his pit crew. Hamlin, again, not a surprise. It wasn't the Ham and Cheese show last week. It wasn't Hamlin and Larson at Darlington. Larson got into his, it could have been the Larson show. Hamlin didn't quite have the car. Again, he also had a bit hood that may or may not have affected the car, but it just wasn't their week. It was the Tyler Reddick week. But both of these drivers have speed, and they're also checking that secondary box of they've got a fast pit crew. Tyler Reddick's crew has been on. Again, we look at Texas, probably should have won that race, pit crew. Darlington should have probably won that race, pit crew. Everything's going right. Austin Cindric is unique, and we're going to come back to this, but he does have a fast pit crew. And so we're going back to that idea of, all right, if I'm making decisions between the Lemons class and value options, this is definitely useful. And like, do I want to go with Cindric? Well, he has shown a little bit more speed every single week. They're not as slow as they were about a month ago. And if you get him at a cheaper price, can he beat all the cars in the Lemons class? Yeah, he's about a top 20 car. And if he has a good day on pit road, then maybe he gets up to the top 15. That's a value hit right there. Now, the problem with Cindric is getting on and off pit road. And we'll look at that here in a little bit. win Brian pretty good. Ty Gibbs, as we witnessed at Darlington, a 9.6, second best on the day, helped him get that solid finish. Christopher Bell, and you'll see, like, oh, well, he doesn't have, because that was a wrecked out day. So you can see on the screen who we have in terms of our rankings on pick road. Just look at a number like Martin Truex Jr. You're trying to decide, do I want to put Martin Truex Jr. as my hog? Well, being 17th in the pits definitely says, maybe this is not going to be my guy. When you use that kind of information. Now, Bubba Wallace is ranking down here pretty low, but we also have to factor in that, well, they did have a bad day at Kansas. Overall, this would be 10 seconds flat, right? If you were to throw that out, manipulate the data a little bit, then he's right back up here. So some of the stuff you want to manually calculate for as well. Use your own contextual knowledge. But that's the stuff that you can do if you have access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. At least leave a like, subscribe, share, recruit people. Who else is breaking down pit crew data? Who else is giving this information, this insight, this edge for you, the diehard, the people that love NASCAR? Obviously, this isn't the just always want to pick show. The I just want to pick guy, and I just will give you the pick guy. That's on the weekend. They don't work during the week, right? Guy works during the week. It's the diehard. It's you. And it's me for you. The Sport Tire. Let's do a quick review of our full in-outs quickly. So on this sheet, we see Larson. Now, I've put their average starting position. I'll explain that in a second. And then where we rank their average starting position. So on the season, Kyle Larson's average start of 10.6 is the best. We've got their four tire, which is 10.2. We just went over that. Larson was third best. Now here, we are ranking their in-out times. I am not putting the number on the in-out because different tracks have longer pit roads. So you can't compare apples to apples. Talladega is a long pit road. Some have shorter pit roads. So you can't do that calculation. What you can do is just say, all right, how long did it take you to get into your stop? How long did it take you to get out of your stop? Not calculating the pit time, just the part that the driver controls. Are you maximizing speed to get down pit road and off of pit road? And then we look at the median of those. And then we rank the drivers from he was the best on the day getting on and off pit road. Now, typically what you're going to see with this data set is the better the pit stall, the better they're going to finish. And that's why when you look at Larson, he has the best starting position this season. And for the most, and when we rank drivers based on their performance getting in and out of pit road, he is averaging a 2.8, which is the best. So obviously, better pit stalls make it easier. One, it's a better pit stall for launching out. Two, typically you are one of the first cars to come down pit road. You're dealing with less traffic coming in. You're dealing with less traffic coming out. So your in-off time is better. There's always going to be that correlation. Another thing that we typically see in high-ranking drivers and getting in and off, it's experience. It's veteran drivers that have been doing it for years, that know these pit lanes, but also know exactly what they need to do. And the younger drivers tend to not be as good. They have less experience, less reps getting in and off. The younger drivers also tend to be starting more towards the middle, so they're dealing with more traffic. Also, those younger drivers may have had Xfinity experience or Truck Series experience. But in those situations, they were mainly getting in and off the pit road at the very front of the field every time in the number one pit stall. So although they may have had 3 years in Xfinity Series, they never really had to learn how to get in and off of pit road in the mid-pack. And so we see younger drivers with a little bit slower in-off times. And it's significant. And it's not something you can completely ignore. because you may have a fast pit crew, but you are also giving up time by not maximizing getting in and off of pit row. So these are two data points that you really want to make sure that you're looking at. Larson knocks out both, as we can see. His crew's fast, he's fast. So again, a feather in his cap. When you are making that decision between hogs, you can feel pretty comfortable there. Kyle Busch, we would like to see that pit crew get a little bit better recently, but he is making up for it. He is an aggressive driver. Joey Logano, again, if they could ever get some speed in this car, which it doesn't seem like Penske Ford is going to do anytime soon, he's got the crew and he's got the skill to really make those gains inside the top 10, top 5, cycle to the lead and lead some laps. Hamlin, no surprise. Bubba Wallace, an aggressive driver. Shouldn't be too surprised here. Again, remember, if we are to throw out that one Kansas race, Bubba jumps up a lot. Ross Chastain, again, should we be surprised that Chastain is aggressive getting on and off pit road? Elliott is also very good. I believe the streak of not getting a speeding penalty is currently owned by Chase Elliott. Eric Jones is up here, but the pit crew is holding him back. Martin Truex Jr., we talked about how his pit crew was hurting him a little bit, but being a veteran driver, he's getting a lot out of the car. Reddick, good little combination. You'd like to see him be a little better, but still pretty solid. And then we got William Byron, Chris Bell, Buescher, Kozlowski. Let's see if there's any surprises. Now, again, like I said, as we see some of these younger drivers, or also drivers who tend to start closer to the back, we see that Corey LaJoie's average starting position is 30th, so he's never really in the greatest pit stall. That's going to hurt him. But again, we don't want to compare Corey LaJoie to Kyle Larson. We want to compare apples to apples or lemons to lemons. And when we look at the class in the back, Corey LaJoie is one of the best drivers on pit road. His crew's hurting him, but he is maximizing his gains getting on and off. And, you know, one of the things that you really have a debate about is when we're looking at the lemons class, you could argue that in-off is more important than the actual four tire because these guys are getting on and off in traffic. Significant traffic, significant battling, and to have that number among the lemons is pretty good and gives you a little bit of an edge of, all right, maybe I want to lean into LaJoie more. Alex Bowman being ranked down here, this is pretty rough. I know he hasn't had a very good starting position. Average on the year starts around 17th place. And that's about right. So his pit stall is never that great. His pit crew is doing a decent job, but he is not helping out much. Really hurts it when you're deciding if he could be that place differential mid-tier play. Noah Gregson, as I mentioned, he's had better starting position recently. Yeah, I mean, so on the season, not the greatest starting position, but the car's had speed. But like I said, younger drivers, not so good getting on and off. Inexperienced drivers like Josh Berry, not so good getting on and off. Michael McDowell's just not good. Hasn't been very good on pit road under his own skill for a while. Again, Ty Gibbs. This is a significant one that I love to point out. His crew's super fast. But he's young and inexperienced, and he is not maximizing getting in and out. And he has the starting position, too. So this is a perfect meat-on-the-bone situation. Early in the season, we were expecting, oh, this is going to be the year that Ty Gibbs gets a win. It didn't really happen. It hasn't come to fruition. You know how Ty Gibbs can get back into the win column? Is by improving this stat. He is starting where he needs to start to win races. His pit crew is fast. His car has speed. If he can do this part, he can cycle to the lead late in the race and win a race. Suarez not really doing much of anything. Hemric not doing much of anything, although this is not a bad number on his part. Here it is again. I was talking about this earlier. Austin Cindric, similar to Gibbs. Good starting positions overall. Good pit crew overall. He can't get on and off pit road. Nemechek. not getting on and off pit road. Pit crew has been slow recently. You go in, you're making that pick amongst the lemons. We already don't like him as the secondary motor club car. This pushes him even down through the ranks. Blaney, yikes. AJ, not so good. So there's your data. Last thing I want to look at before we wrap up is we'll just go over Darlington. Let's look at the Darlington results, and let's look at the pit stops. So we got them ranked based on finish. Here's all of Brad's stops under yellow, under green. Now, I don't have them sorted in lap order. Technically, I probably should, but that's fine. Well, here. We'll do it. So there we go. So we can see all the stops. Lap 37, 93, 124, you see it. The condition of the stop, even the actual race time, how many seconds into the race, the total time of the stop. So when I was very first stop, it was 44 seconds. 26 seconds in, 11 seconds in the pit, 7.3 seconds getting out, four tires. He was in second position. That slower spot stop cost him five spots. Tough. Now, that was a green flag stop. So you got to be careful looking at that metric because you can cycle to a certain situation. He may not have really lost five spots once they cycled out. If you really want to look at gains on pit road, the best is only to look at the yellow flag conditions. And you can see here in lap 93, he grabs two spots. And those are significant spots because that's going from third to first. You want to predict hogs. You want to predict lap leaders. You want to know who's going to make gains in the top five when it's hard to pass. That's how it's done, folks. Ares did it again. Did it again. Now, this is a green flag stop, so you don't really want to look at that to get an idea of the metric. He came out in sixth, but once they cycle several laps down, it could be a different situation. Lap 234, yellow flag, holds. Great day on pit road, wins the race. 9.5 is his average time. There's more data we can dive into, but there it is. Good pit crew, good day. Ty Gibbs finishes second. Pit crew on the day. Look at these times. Good Lord. That is fast. Wait, I'm sorry. Getting in. It's not a very good data point because that's him getting in. He had a pit stall closer to entry. Sorry. These are fast. 9.6, 9.5, 9.5, 9.5. Overall, still pretty good. Pretty good day for our man. But the thing that I do want to look at is over here. So here we can see our in-out times. This is not taking into the pit stop time, which is really good for Ty Gibbs, really good for Brad Keselowski. What about in and out? So in and out, completely in the control of the driver, we're pulling out the actual stop. 33, 32, 9, and then we rank them among all the pit stops on the day. And if you just look at the color coding, you can see that as far as getting in and out of pit road, Keselowski's up there with the best. And as we know over here, he had some pretty good stops with his pit crew. Actually, we just look right here. Pit crew, 9.5 median, best pit crew in terms of in your stall. Ty Gibbs, best pit crew in terms of being in your stall. All right, now what did Brad Keselowski do for his part? He got in and off pit road pretty well. Ty Gibbs, okay, but not the greatest. Meat on the bone. If he he'll get better at getting on and off pit road. This guy will be a race winner. We go to our third place driver and Josh Berry. How is his pit crew? Overall, they rank fifth on the day. He finishes third. Pit crew is fifth fastest, changing the tires. He was not good getting in and out of pit road. Meat on the bone. There is upside with Josh Berry. There is more to be gained with Josh Berry. Probably listening to another podcast, he's a 15th place driver. And then the conversation ends there. He is around a 10th to 15th place driver. But if he can get a little bit more aggressive on pit road, by looking at this data, by us digging in, we can start to believe in him more of being a 10th place consistent driver. And SHR taking a huge step forward. This is a huge hole in his game at the moment. He can make gains here. Denny Hamlin finishes fourth. His pit crew on the day was ninth. Over here, in terms of him getting on and off pit road, where did his in-out time rank? Pretty solid. Chase Briscoe finishes the race fifth. His pit crew, top 10. He did not do himself any favors. He was not very fast. His in-offs were 142, 155, 121. So we look at all the pit stops throughout the day. He didn't even have a top 100 in-out. No bueno. William Byron, on the other hand, knocks it out of the park, getting in and out of pit road. Pit crew could have been a little bit faster. Finished the sixth. Bubba Wallace, with the exception of one time, got everything checked. Maximizing potential. But you can look at that another way and say, is that a ceiling on Bubba? He finishes seventh. Never really flirts with leading anything in this race. Checked the pit crew box. Checked the getting on and off pit road box. Where can the gains be made? It's definitely a good question to ask. And those questions only come up when you dive into the stats. Get deep in the weeds. Alex Bowman, as we mentioned earlier, not doing his crew any favors. If he can clean this up, he could start to run a little bit better. We already talked about it. If he cleans up his pit road, maybe that's the missing piece. You know, as we said earlier, maybe Chase Elliott isn't as fast as he seems because his pit crew and his in-off time is covering up for it. Well, maybe the opposite could be said for Bowman. Maybe the real situation is not that Bowman's car lacks a lot of speed. It could quite possibly be that his inability to get in and off of pit road, and it's been hampered by starting position and poor pit selection, but his inability has really hidden some of the speed that 48 car could possibly have. And there could be something here. This could be a diamond in the rough, a little bit of hidden value. We may have found something here. And if you are hanging on and you're the type of guy that's listened this long to a Fantasy NASCAR pit crew video, this could be your reward right here. This could be your gem. This one ain't going to get repeated in another Fantasy NASCAR podcast. A lot of the stuff that I do, you know, and I've mentioned this before or in the past, you know, I do early week podcasts. So I do tons of homework. And I put it into the video on Monday and Tuesday. And this has been happening for years. And I've had conversations with competitors about it. And it's fine. I am flattered. What will happen is I will do all the work. They will listen to my podcast. They will record their podcast on Friday night or Saturday. And simply repeat exactly what I said and never cite me once. Some dudes are good dudes, and they will cite me. Sterling cites me. Cool. And that's why I retweet their podcast. DFS Edge, I believe it was. And then they had the Rattled Cage on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts can be found. That's Sterling. And I forgot the guy's name. I apologize. They're good dudes. They cite me. I appreciate that. I'm flattered that people come to me to get information. Regular fans and even competitors. I'm disappointed and frustrated. Yes, there is an R in frustrated. One of the things that frustrates me more than anything is when people say frustrated. A lot of people do that. I'm very surprised, and then also surprised has an R in there as well. I guess it's a speech thing. Your parents didn't really weren't particular about teaching you how to speak correctly when you were 2 or 3, and so then you got older and you couldn't say frustrated. It's all right. It's pretty common. This is a rant. But it's frustrating when people just phone in 15-minute podcasts at the end of the week, and then even in those 15-minute podcasts, they're simply just repeating the stuff that I'd already said. And then don't cite it. Act like I don't exist. It's kind of rough. And that's been happening for years, and we've had conversations. I've mentioned to it before, and I've had to work things out with people and, come together. And sometimes, they apologize, and we, got along, Hey, you're stealing my work, man. What's the deal? And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, all right, you're not a bad guy after all, and everything works out. And then sometimes it stops working out. But here's the deal with this one. Even the thieves, the plagiarists, they're not going to make it this deep into a podcast. They didn't make it to the Bowman part. I would be very surprised if anyone in their podcast this week, maybe if it happens, let me know, will mention that Bowman may have more speed in his car because his in-out times have not been maximized, not even really been average. Now, if someone repeats this in a podcast, then you absolutely know where it came from. And they will have the opportunity to say, hey, I got this from the Fantasy NASCAR podcast, Race for the Prize, Pierce mentioned this. Or they can just act like they did it. They did the homework. I've seen enough over the last decade of doing this podcast to know what happens. It's all right. There it is. There's the resentful rant of a guy that puts in a lot of work. Now, if I felt unappreciated, that would be a worse rant. But the good news is I am appreciated. I can see the numbers. I can see the growth of the channel. I can see the monetization. I can see where this thing's going. I get tons of feedback from you, and so I'm not resentful. I'm very happy. That's why we're up at 3 in the morning, ready, rocking to go, thinking about how can I help people out? What kind of stacks can I dive into? What's a way to make better fantasy NASCAR picks? What's a way to give real, worthwhile research content that can help people out and not just phone in, oh, this guy stinks, oh, this guy's good, all right. There it is. Did my obligation. People want a show. I did a show. I'm done. Yeah, but you didn't really say anything. You just threw together a random thing and just made stuff up because you had to clock in and clock out. Look, I know what that is. I've done that before. A decade of doing these fantasy NASCAR podcasts. But I don't want to do that anymore. Justin Haley. Again, as we get deeper into the field, you're going to have drivers with poor starting positions. That's going to lead to lower in-out times. Drivers with inexperience is going to lead to poor in-out times. But look, Justin Haley finishes 9th. Doesn't have a fast pit crew. Obviously, young driver, not a good starting stall. Still has a great day. This guy is the king of optimals. And we were at Kansas 2 weeks ago. He was optimal in 3 out of 4. He's optimal again. Coming into Darlington, I believe, is optimal in 3 out of 4. He's optimal again. But I've said this over a month ago that, we came into the season wondering, is Haley taking a step back? Is this a transitional step? And then we early on saw, boy, Colic doesn't really have any speed. Colic seems to have gone a pay-for-play route with Daniel Hemric. And in the Xfinity Series, Haley knew what was up. Haley knew about Rick Ware. After the race, Haley said, yeah, we just copied Brad Keselowski's setup. Stop. Wait. Hold on. Rewind that. What did you just say? After the race at Darlington, Haley said, yeah, we just copied Brad Keselowski's setup. Brad Keselowski won the race. Cool. RFK Ford has an alliance with Rick Ware. Cool. We knew that. But we didn't know that the alliance was probably that solid. If they have that much access to data, if Haley was able to say, hey, give me exactly what Brad's got. Holy effing S. That is serious. That is real. That's a big deal. Haley's been fast over the last couple weeks. Who else has been fast over the last couple weeks? RFK Ford has made gains over the last couple weeks. Does Rick Ware really have that close of an alliance and connection? Did Haley know that at the beginning of the season? I mean, we are seeing both of these teams emerge at the same time. Even Kaz Grala is demonstrating some speed. Put that in the bank again. How deep is your DFS content guy digging? How much is he reading? How much is he watching? Did you know that Haley said we copied Brad's setup? They have access to the data. The results over the last couple weeks are correlating, connecting. This Rick Ware team is rising right along with the RFK Fords. Let's see if this one gets repeated. See if this one gets cited. I don't intentionally bury some of these key facts deep into it. I don't intentionally do a lot of it. I do have notes in the guide to do these podcasts. But, you know, a lot of this is completely organic. And me just having years of practice speaking in front of a podcast mic, but also speaking in front of 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds who don't want to hear anything you have to say. And so having to be able to be entertaining, articulate, and punctual, all of those things, jumping on tables, you know the game. There it is. Didn't mean to bury that one. We already talked about McDowell. Ross Chastain, as I mentioned before, very aggressive getting on and off pit road. Crew didn't really help him out much. Maybe that could help boost Chastain to the next level. Chase Elliott, not the best day on and off pit road. But this is probably the week where that poor starting position finally got to him. Poor starting position, Darlington, the in-out time is going to suffer. It's just the facts. Christopher Bell, pretty good in and out. Average pit crew. Gregson. Now, this is one thing I do want to know. And I talked about earlier when we're looking at overall pit crews. Gregson, overall, as a young driver, has not done himself any favors getting off of on and off of pit road. Just 19th. Which, again, isn't bad if you're putting him in the Lemons class, but he's not in the Lemons class. He's supposed to be in the top tier. So overall, 19th, that's not good. But what we notice here at Darlington, 14th in terms of getting in and out. There was an improvement. That is something we want to see, right? That's what we're asking for with Ty Gibbs and Josh Berry. Gregson got better getting in and out of pit road. Then his pit crew let him down. There's something there. Meat on the bone. Gilly, not surprised. Never great starting position. Younger driver. Corey LaJoy, as we've already mentioned, pretty good overall. Priest, not surprised. Poor starting position. Young, inexperienced driver. Kaz Grala, not surprised. Young, inexperienced driver. Poor starting position means bad pit stall. Eric Jones, not a bad day getting in and off pit road for a guy who hasn't raced in a while. And a guy that was starting in the back with not one of the best pit stalls. But his pit crew, they were the ones that were rusty. Eric Jones is like, hey man, I'm the one with the broken back. Come on, folks. Austin Cindric, as I mentioned before, he's got a fast pit crew. Although this is probably one of the weaker performances. Not bad though, 10.1. He is not getting it done. He, then when you say like, oh, this could be that value play in the mid-pack because his pit crew is so fast, then it negates those gains because the clown can't get in and off of pit road. And so, you know, where he could be making gains, he's losing spots. Logano, pretty solid. Finishes the day in 21st. We don't need to go through the whole thing. There's your top 20. That's awesome. We'll put up one last thing to close out the podcast. Just a real quick discussion on four tire gains. Since we are here, and this is comprehensive as always, one of the things that you do like to look at is just kind of who's making gains on pit road. And so the best, again, you have to compare apples to apples. So you just want to look at, we're sorting based on four tire stops and only under yellow conditions. Because remember, if you look at position in and out under green flag, you've got cycling issues and it's not a real test because you got to wait laps down the road to see who's really making gains. So you only look at yellow conditions. And you can see Christopher Bell on lap 143 grabs five spots. Very good. And that's 18th to 13th. So there's a couple things that you want to talk about. You're like, oh, look at all these gains these guys are making. Well, you also have to look at them in context. A gain from 21 to 17th, that's good. Obviously, it's a good thing. Before we do a happy dance, it's like, all right, well, you know, you're making gains over the cars running in 21st through 17th. These are not likely to be the fastest pit crews. So sometimes you got to be a little careful without getting super excited. Because we see Corey LaJoie pop off twice, which is good for him. Right, there's that added value that we want to see, the boosting to the top of the Lemons class. But before we declare him to be a god on pit road, we got to say, all right, yeah, but it's easier to make those gains in the 20s than it is to make a four-position gain in the top 10, where the pit crews are elite. So when we see a gain like this with William Byron on lap 159, 6th to 3rd, 3 spots, those are the elite pit crews going head-to-head. That's him doing his job getting on and off. That's his pit crew being fast against the other best people at getting on and off. That is a significant number. You can go through this as much as you want. You can see Ryan Blaney with the 2 spot. It's not huge, guys, but you tack a couple of these together. You have 3 really good stops in the top 10. Then you're working with something. William Byron, again, inside the top 10, making gains. We already highlighted some of Brad Keselowski's gains. Corey LaJoie, again, making gains. Again, not the end-all, be-all, but that's better than negative. Hopefully, this was a pretty good podcast for you. Hopefully, the rants didn't get me in more trouble. I'm going to get more angry DMs. I'm always surprised by the DMs. I never call anyone out. I never say anything bad about anybody. I never mention anyone by name. Most of my comments are always general accusations. And yet, somehow, people always feel like I'm directly speaking about them. It's never the case, guys. I don't think about anybody. Right? So that's that madman meme. It's like, what do you, I don't know what you think of me. Well, I don't think of you. It's not something I spend my time doing. Why do you think I think about you? That's the real question. So, and if I did offend someone, like, I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm not trying to attack anybody, start any wars or whatever. And, like, I apologize. That's never, ever the case for me to try to harm or hurt anybody. And if it was accidental, then I'm sorry. Just go ahead and take that blanket apology. I know it doesn't seem very sincere, but how sincere can I be when I really didn't do anything or say anything? But, like, if you feel like I personally attacked you, then, look, I don't mean to attack you. I'm sorry. I mean, if you did something that you feel like I'm attacking you over, then what did you do? I don't know. But if you didn't do anything and you feel personally attacked by something I said, then I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to come through that way in any direction. But I'm sure something that I said is going to send some DMs my way. Or some trolls will, you know, a lot of times there's, and I'm actually surprised by this. Here we go, rant story time. I finally realized, oh boy, we're out of time. You can hear the beeping. We'll fire up the treadmill a little bit longer, not supposed to, but I got a couple more things to say. Apologize for the beeping. Find the thing back up. Here we go. You're going to hear some more beeps in a second, guys. Actually, we'll let it die. And we don't need to talk about the trolls. Surprised by the trolls, but I shouldn't be, because they have subscribed to content. They are loyal to their content. It's their purchase. They want their purchase to look good. They don't want to feel bad about making the wrong decision with their money. And so they pick a team. They support that team. And so then they troll me and then tell the other people lies. And that's a terrible way to end a podcast. The treadmill going down kind of threw me for a loop. I'm sorry. Well, you know, you're supposed to wow them in the end, and this was not a wow in the end at all. It's great content up until this point. Holy crap, train wreck at the end. Just get out of here, man. Shut it off. It's only going to get worse. You're right. It is only going to get worse. I love you guys. Blessed to have you around. Trip to Light, fantastic. Get the hell out of here.